original sin.
It's not my time yet.
And I just have a... So I don't want to quibble with anything that you are doing. Except one thing, procedural justice. I think really the goal is the substance of justice, which is not to disparage procedural justice or procedural due process. But having said that, and I haven't lived here long enough to... I just don't know the answer to this question, but I know that Philomath and other places have police body cameras, and I hope that the first thing you do once you get through with pass... I assume you're going to pass something. Once you've passed something, the next step... You know, Carthage was not destroyed as soon as the guy started saying Carthage must be destroyed. Had to be said over and over and over to get to the point. So there are pros and cons. I will say Portland does not have to suffer under the first mover mistakes and the first mover stumbles, because Portland is not first to do body cameras, for better or worse. And just as a citizen who maybe has some privilege, but trying to stay out of trouble, but in any case, really for everybody whom you're acting on behalf of, think about body cameras.
Yes, sir. And for the record, we've committed to those. And this year's budget actually had the first outlay to begin that process.
The first outlay to do what?
To begin the process of implementing body cams.
And also,
so that they will be worn by police officers here in the city of Portland.
I haven't read it. I mean, I've read a little bit, maybe not enough to know what's really happening.
The good news is I don't write the news. I'm terrible at it.
What we've heard, though, is it's a lot more complicated than it might think, because there's privacy issues that
people in the public
do not want that to be used as surveillance. So there's a lot of... It's a big issue.
Oh, the panopticon and surveillance is a big issue. It's going to get worse. And, you know, the Master and Servant Act is the way this society is going, too, which is
lots
big
of work
issues.
To do there, sir. You bet. Thank you. And last but not least.
About that original sin. No, I'm not. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Commission, my name is, for the record, is Pastor J.W. Matt Hennessy, the pastor of the historic Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church here in Portland. I also serve as a convener for the Interfaith Peace and Action Collaborative, which meets every other Friday, bringing police and community and faith leaders together. And so today my remarks are specifically talking about the changes that are recommended, rather, to you about the Committee on Community Engaged Policing. So my formal remarks are before you. I'll try to get through this in the time that I have left. It's always an honor and a pleasure to come before you to give input and voice to matters that you are grappling with in the public square. As a person who's lived here for 28 years, I respect the grist it takes to create innovative and sustainable results for one of America's greatest cities. I'm convinced that community engagement was birthed in Portland and have had many great opportunities myself to be so involved. As I talk about the changes that are before you, it's important that I say from the bottom of my heart how much I respect and appreciate the great work of this community and each of you, the AMA, and several other civil and human rights organizations, the Portland Police Bureau, and every citizen who has lent their name and time to help us comply with the Department of Justice's settlement agreement. As a result of my years in public administration, I have been on the side of administering and creating success for a consent decree from the Department of Justice in Saginaw, Michigan, when I was the Assistant City Manager of Police and Fire. And in that regard, I was dealing with the very difficult stuff as it relates to race and hiring and the need or the consent for every one white firefighter, four non-whites had to be hired. I also served as a settlement agreement monitor for the EEOC, overseeing the implementation of policies and practices of the Thomason Auto Group for 3 years. So for 8 years of my life, I've done this kind of work, and I respect how very difficult it is to do. It's against that backdrop that I acknowledge the work of the COAB and Kathleen Sadat and all who worked with her. I salute the great work of Nicole Grant and those who are working with her and the changes that you are considering today and the weeks to come. Specifically, I am grateful to see the onboarding efforts made for those who will serve on the committee, the terms of office, the ability to meet and work with the public present, as well as opportunities to meet with privately for considerations that are so important, which lend itself to thoughtful and respect and reflective discussion. I'm also grateful for the recommendations of the input into the directives considered by the Portland Police Bureau and, of course, their input in the progress meetings before Honorable Federal Judge Mike Simon. What I go on to say is just to remind you that I think that it's important that they meet with the COCAL, that they also make time to meet with the various community groups so that the work that they're doing can also be done not just when they're meeting, but also in ways that they might have intimate conversation and understand together as well. The rest of that's in my testimony.
Thank you. Thank you both for your testimony. Thank you for your leadership, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. All right, colleagues, should we invite staff back up? Would that be useful? Tracy, could we get you to come up? And Nicole, I know you're hiding here somewhere. There she is. Great. So, colleagues, we currently have three amendments on the table, the one around the removal of the word compelled in the first Ordinance 945. We have the one around the PSEP amendments on 946. We've added AMAC to the list on page 7 under 946. I had a couple of questions that I will just quickly jump into while we're organizing here. Do we need to clarify the term limits?
I looked at the Mr. Mayor, Tracy Reeves, City Attorney. I looked at the language in the Exhibit 4-1 as has been presented with some amendments, and I do not believe it's legally necessary. I see perhaps some of the confusion is that it says some members will serve a two-year maximum term, and people may be reading that as a maximum of two terms, but it's just specifying that the longest term is a two-year term and that there's also one-year terms, and it is not imposing.
Does the word maximum need to be in that sentence? Because I assume it's the word maximum that's tripping people up.
I think it would be fine to just say a two-year term.
Is that a Scribner's error, or does it? Nicole looks like she has something else to say.
I think it would be fine to add language that simply says there's no term limit.
Why didn't I think of that? You're so good. I would entertain a motion if people
think
that's good.
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Udaley seconds. We'll call that Fish 1, and that's adding the sentence around term limits. Philip had mentioned the question of accommodations, and that was not explicitly called out. Should that be explicitly called out? Obviously, we want accommodations.
So, Mr. Mayor, I know we have not been perfect in our implementation, but we have a legal obligation to provide accommodations, and we strive to provide accommodations. And we, under Title VI and under the ADA, we have an obligation to do that in all of our public activities and boards and commissions, so I do not believe it is legally necessary to specifically call that out.
Is that requirement in code, or is that a state or a federal requirement?
It is certainly federal law requirements. There are also state analogs.
Okay. Commissioner Fritz?
Thanks, Mayor. Sorry to butt in.
Not at all.
As we've had in the past, it's really a funding issue, a budget issue, and there has been various proposals on how to fund accommodations citywide as well as on this particular body. So since you'll be proposing the budget, that's one way to make sure that it gets done.
Okay, very good. The question was raised around the CRC and the what would happen if we simply removed the CRC from the document.
So I would really urge. I understand that council would like to have further
Commissioner
discussion.
Commissioner Fritz thinks I may have misinterpreted that. So
what I heard
sure.
was to remove paragraph 61,
right.
which is
okay.
on page 15 of the okay. settlement agreements. And it wasn't removing the CRC. It was removing a definition of supported by the evidence as the standard of review.
Right. And I guess what Thank I you. Would say is I understand that there's a desire to address that. That is something I would... All of the proposed amendments that are before you, we have worked extensively over a very lengthy period of time with the Department of Justice, the Portland Police Association, the AMAC, to a lesser extent. And I would, that is not something that my office has had the opportunity to look at, let alone to talk with our partners about, and I would really urge you not to make additional amendments to the settlement agreement that we've had no opportunity to collaborate or to have discussions on. Certainly, you could direct staff to explore how to look at and to come back to you and to report on the appropriate standard for the CRC, but I think it's an issue that merits thoughtful consideration on its own, and I would urge you not to make substantive amendments to the settlement agreement language that we have not had any discussions with our partners about.
The point was just removing that definition so that in the future we can have that, because I understand that it's in the police contract, so it's maybe a bargaining issue. We may not be able to do it right away. But why do we have to have a definition of it in the settlement agreement?
Because it's a definition that we negotiated with the Department of Justice in the first place that governs our accountability system, and so we have not had any discussions with them about whether they have any objections or see any further problems. I'll be honest, today is the first time that I've heard that raised. I've not had any time to look at it or consider it. I don't know what the materiality is to the Department of Justice on other areas, but I would it would be a substantive change to the settlement agreement of a definition that was negotiated back in 2011, 2012, and we've had no discussions with them about that.
Okay, and then with regard to, there was some confusion about whether we were limiting the work of the committee during its first year based on the comments that were made.
I understand. I've heard the testimony. I do not believe there's anything in the plan that limits the work to that. It is one element of the work, but it is not limited to that. And Nicole, I think, could speak better to the policy intention.
So to clarify, items 1 through...
Nicole, could you state your name for the record, please?
Nicole Grant, Senior Policy Advisor for the Mayor.
Thank you.
To clarify, items 1 through 7... on pages 9 and 10 of the PSEP plan, specifically lay out the steps that PSEP is to take in making recommendations on the community engagement plan for the Bureau. And that's one element. That's one charge. Nothing in that section precludes work on any of the other items laid out in this document.
And if I might add on to that, we had a lot of discussion at the first hearing about they should do this, they should do that, and we had a number of things that we were going to put in there. When Christina Nieves, one of my policy advisors, tried to calendared out what would these volunteers be required to do, it was way more than even 20 hours a week. It was a full-time job, and even then we didn't think you could get it done. So that's why it's permissive, right? That
right.
There's a few things that have to happen, but... not giving these volunteers so much that nobody will volunteer to do it.
And the one-year time frame was expanded from what was discussed on August 3rd, and the intention was to kind of give PSEP the ability to actually get this work done. And in hiring a consultant, an organizational development consultant, we hope to have kind of assistance in developing that that work plan.
Am I understanding that to respond to Kathleen Sadat's suggestion, there's going to also be an internal police organizational evaluation with the new chief?
The strategic plan? Or
just how to create organizational change. That was one of Ms. Sadat's recommendations.
Right. So that's separate from kind of the settlement agreement and
yes.
the PSEP plan. But as I understand, there has been substantial community outreach by the Bureau with respect to the development of a strategic plan and contracting with, I believe, actually I don't know if that's been determined yet, but contracting with a company to help the Bureau do that.
Thank you. So similarly, then, this doesn't say everything that we're doing with regards to police. There's other things that don't need to be in the settlement agreement.
Right.
Mayor, I have an amendment I'd like
Commissioner
to offer.
Saltzman.
Yeah, I was impressed or struck by the testimony of Dan Handelman on Copwatch about the need to better define incapacitation as a reason not to give testimony within 48 hours of an officer-involved shooting. I do think we should add a definition, and I would propose it on Section 2.2.51, where it reads that a captain or designee shall ensure that the involved member provides a compelled statement as soon as practicable, but no later than within 48 hours of the event. Unless the member is incapacitated and unable to provide a statement, I would add a sentence after that. The emotional state of the officer after a shooting does not constitute incapacitation. That would be my amendment. I'm concerned that, just as I was concerned and support removing the exception to the 48-hour rule, because I think the exception becomes the rule, I do think having sort of this blanket incapacitation standard without saying that the emotional trauma of a shooting does not constitute incapacitation in and of itself. Otherwise, I think we're creating another potential loophole.
So, Commissioner, I think incapacitation probably would have a legal definition that would be something more than the normal expected upset. I would have some concern about on the fly adding a definition that says emotional. Could you? I'm sorry.
The
read your
emotional
language
trauma in of itself does not constitute incapacitation. Emotional trauma from the shooting does not in of itself constitute incapacitation under this section.
So as we all sit here, that sounds fine, but there might be situations where an actual medical provider would believe that someone was actually incapacitated as a result of that. And my concern, again, is that as if we're making those kind of amendments here without the benefit of reviewing any of that kind of information and without the benefit of hearing what the Portland Police Association has to say about it, that we might do something that could cause difficulties or that might contravene, and I don't know that it would, but...
Well, I mean, just to, in defense of myself here, we're sitting here tossing amendments back and forth. Why does this one suddenly upset the apple cart so much? I mean...
It's just one that I see potentially having... medical...
This is the first time I've heard you say that the Portland Police Association should be in the loop to review...
They
what
are in.
What
they,
doing.
Well, excuse me. The I didn't mean to interrupt. The Portland Police Association has been part of the review process throughout. That is the way it works with the Department of Justice settlement agreement amendments. We are in a process. They're a party to the settlement agreement process. We have meetings where they participate as well.
Yeah, I get it.
It's no greater role, but they are a party and they do participate at the table. I guess my hesitation is I just have kind of a gut check that could be. A medical situation that I don't know the line of where incapacitation would be judged by, say, a medical provider. And if we put in that, I mean, perhaps if it said something like, you know, the normal trauma, but I guess my concern is just what if we put a definition like that in there and someone truly is incapacitated? They're not physically incapacitated, but they're...
I would suggest, and the reason I suggested we remove, and Commissioner Fish and the mayor put this in their revised amendment to do away with practically all exceptions to the 48-hour rule, is if it's clear in the minds of the interrogators and the investigators that this person is truly incapacitated, then all they have to do is ask what the person's, you know, name and rank and serial number is. And then they can say, that's it, you know, you met the 48-hour requirement. We'll talk to you later. And I'd say the same thing would apply in this situation as well. And, you know, I'm concerned about it.
May I make a comment? I'm just curious. I really just don't feel comfortable taking advice from the city attorney on this one and from the police. I think actually really.
Okay, Philip, that's our judgment to make. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz, and then I have a comment.
May I just a friendly suggestion, Commissioner Saltzman? How about just saying physically incapacitated? Instead of having another definition about what incapacitated is with mental, just have it unless the officer is physically incapacitated.
That would also be my suggestion.
Okay.
Could we say something like physically incapacitated and unable to provide an oral or written statement? I mean that.
Well, physical incapacitation could include something like being so traumatized that it becomes catatonic. So I think actually that just saying
I would be comfortable with the physical incapacitation. I also think we have a pretty robust record here of the intent of the council. So I would.
Okay, I could modify the amendment to simply insert the word physical in front of incapacitated. Physically incapacitated.
I'll second that amendment.
Okay, so Commissioner Saltzman moves. Commissioner Fish seconds that amendment. And just a quick process check here. So we are obviously voting on Ordinance 945 today and its amendments. And it's my understanding we'll be voting on the amendments for 946 and then moving that to second reading. So there is actually more time for discussion of these issues or no?
So the one that I'm sorry, now I've lost which is.
So 945 is an emergency ordinance. 946 appears not to be. So my understanding is we'll be taking the vote on 45, but not 46.
945 is 10-10-10.
Correct.
46, I believe, we're voting on. You're voting on today.
If we agree,
we could add an emergency clause.
Okay. Does somebody want to propose that?
Well, Mayor, we've got. Let's find out if we have any more amendments. Because if not, I would urge us to go through the amendments to both. And then see if there's a proposal to slap an emergency clause on 946.
Good.
And then take them both up subsequently.
Great suggestion. Any further amendments to those? Very good. So why don't we do this? Why don't we first vote on the amendments to 945, then we'll take the votes on the amendments to 946, and then we'll see if somebody wants to make a motion on 946. First of all, Saltzman number one, with regard to compelled, could you please call the roll? This is amendment number one, Commissioner Saltzman, with regard to Ordinance 945.
Oh, thank you. Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Could you please call the roll on Saltzman number two, which relates to the definition of incapacitation?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Amendment two is adopted. With regard to Ordinance 946, Fritz, amendment number one relating to the package of amendments related to PSEP. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Wheeler, number one, which refers to adding AMAC to the list of organizations on page 7. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Fish number one, amendment number one, which relates to term limits. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Colleagues, I'll entertain a motion on item 946 for an emergency clause.
So moved.
I'll second.
Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Udaly seconds. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz.
And the reason for the emergency clause is because it's in the public benefit to be sending this to the Department of Justice and the judge as quickly as possible. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Colleagues, any further discussion before I call the main motions on these ordinances? Please call the roll on item 945.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very pleased to support this ordinance as amended. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and Mayor Wheeler for providing some changes to further almost remove, actually, the 48-hour rule exceptions. I really was concerned about any exceptions to that rule because that often becomes the norm. The exceptions become the norm. So I think we have a tighter ordinance 10-10-10, and I think the changes in the hearings and what we heard today will even make it better. So I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
You Daly.
I'd also like to thank Commissioner Fish and the mayor's office for moving on this. This is one of our primary concerns with this ordinance, and I'm pleased with the results. Aye.
Fritz.
Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fish and I got a lot of grief for supporting the police contract last year, and this is one of the reasons. That's what we were paying for, and I really salute Mayor Wheeler for meaning what you said during the campaign and making sure that it happens, and Commissioner Fish for giving your legal expertise to getting the details right. And thank you to the entire community also. Aye.
Fish?
Colleagues, today we're taking decisive action to protect the hard-fought reform, the elimination of the 48-hour rule. And we're not picking a fight with the district attorney. We have a respectful disagreement, and we believe we can maintain that firewall and protect constitutional rights while also ensuring that we act in a timely manner as an employer to enforce our rules. Mayor, I want to thank you for your partnership in working on this. I want to thank the community for really thoughtful testimony that helped guide this process, including the amendments offered today. I actually think this has gotten stronger with each hearing, and I'm proud to vote aye.
Wheeler.
So this has been better than a college education and a master's degree and a PhD all wrapped into one. And I want to thank first and foremost people in the community who took the time and many, many hours to participate in hearings, discussions, meetings, those who took the time to write us, call us, send us flowers. I'm very appreciative of that, and I believe it has greatly strengthened this ordinance. I want to thank my colleagues, Commissioner Fish. Again, I really appreciate the hard work you and your team did on the 48-hour rule issue. That was very, very complicated, but it's important that we get it right. Commissioner Fritz, thank you for your tireless work on the PSEP. Soon, I hope to be renamed. And I just want to thank all my colleagues. I'm really appreciative of this. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Please call the roll on item 946.
Saltzman.
Well, I think the PSEP, or whatever we end up calling it, certainly has some challenges. But I do believe we need to try something different than the COAB model. And I think that, you know, there's no getting it right. Everybody's going to have different opinions on various aspects of involvement, community involvement, public involvement. And so I think, you know, this is an evolutionary process. I think we've got something here that does represent an improvement. And I do thank the mayor for taking this on. And we will see. And we can always revisit this issue if we have to. But I do think that this is a definite improvement over what we had. And regardless of whose fault it was, the city, the community, or whatever, it's an improvement. Please to support it. Aye.
You Daly.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank the community for hanging in with us on us on this conversation, continuing to be engaged and involved. On August 3rd, I came to council and introduced 5 amendments that were a direct response to the input that we got, my office received from the community, and they were specifically about wanting oversight of PSEP by the full council, the size of the committee, transparency and accountability, and community engagement. However, primarily based on public testimony on the 3rd, by the end of that hearing, I had really lost confidence in the plan as it was written, and I could not have supported it as is. So with that said, I want to thank the mayor and Commissioner Fritz and all of my colleagues and their staff for continuing to work on this and to take into account feedback from the community. I really think we have a much stronger plan, And as has been acknowledged, there may still be some fine-tuning. It's essential that we move forward with this. Aye.
Fritz.
This is what happens when you have good community engagement. And I'm thinking back to when Mayor Sam Adams negotiated the settlement agreement with the city attorney and also with U.S. Attorney Amanda Marshall. And in that, we weren't allowed to have a community conversation because it was all legalese and we just weren't allowed to talk about it. And so I had some input into it on some parts of it and not into others. And I think everybody did the best they could. With what we put forward. And there were some huge successes, as Mayor Wheeler mentioned at the last hearing, that the Community Oversight Advisory Board worked diligently, far harder than anybody had a right to expect them to, came up with some very, very good products, and also had their fair share of anger directed at them by other community members who wanted to see more changes quicker. And so I want to start, first of all, by thanking Barbara Bueno and Nicole Grant in the mayor's office and Christina Nieves in mine, because it's their part of the village, too, that has made this better. I'm thankful to Ellen Osenach and Judy Prosper and Tracy Reeve, who from the city attorney's office have really gone above and beyond and, you know, can't count the number of times somebody's come into my office saying, what about this? We just thought about this, and then we'd all think about it a bit more. And then we would get community input. And Mayor Wheeler, I so honour you for allowing the process to unfold, engaging with people, listening to everybody inside City Hall and outside. And, you know, again, we've picked the best we can for right now. I don't think any of us is claiming this is going to be perfect. But it's been a good process, and there does seem to have been, through allowing this process to happen, there's some more confidence than before in our police's ability to keep everybody in our community safe. I want to particularly thank advocates in the mental health communities who have sometimes not been the loudest voices, and I am mindful that that continues to be part of my role to make sure that we remember that the settlement agreement is about a lot of different things, including mental illness and the disproportionate impact of police actions on people experiencing mental health crises. So there's a lot more that we have to do in that regard. I'm pleased with the progress so far, and I know we have more to do, and I'm very committed to doing it. Aye.
Fish?
I just have a few things to add to my colleague's eloquent remarks. I want to thank Amira Streeter and Sonia Schmansky on my team, who have done such great work. And I want to acknowledge, as my colleagues have, the great work of the city attorney's office. And we really have a fantastic city attorney's office and highly principled and dedicated folks who guide us. So Tracy, to you and your team, thank you. And I want to thank my colleagues and their the staff people that they have had involved in this thing. I also want to thank Dr. Haynes and Dr. Bethel. They've been talking about this with me since 2002, and they still come here, and they still advocate, and when necessary, they pray, and we're just grateful for their steadfast leadership. I want to just say something about our new mayor. Everyone knows that Ted Wheeler ran for mayor and staked his mayoralty on this issue. So we have no confusion about that. He said, judge me on the kind of progress I make on police reform and accountability. And he came forward with a proposal that got mixed reviews, to put it politely. And so one of the things that I want to just acknowledge...
That was very charitable, Commissioner Fish.
One thing I want to acknowledge about Ted's leadership is the word humility. I've served with four different mayors, and when you put a proposal forward and you get a lot of pushback, there's a lot of different ways you can respond. And the way he responded was to step back, recast his proposal, engage the community, and engage all of his colleagues. And that is why he is poised to get a 5-0 vote on yet another really complex issue that's come before this council. And while, you know, there's lore around here that you only need 3 votes to get anything done, I think it's a mark of a different kind of leadership that you can bring the whole council along. And this is a very independent-minded council. We have exceptionally bright group of people here, and we disagree on lots of things. And this is the third or fourth major issue in the last month where the mayor has got to five and has worked it until he's gotten consensus. And to me, that's a hallmark of being a good leader.
Thanks, Nick.
I also want to acknowledge that we have some momentum. And for people that are looking at this more broadly, Philip Wolf said, you know, he used the term, we're heading in the right path. Well, how do we know that? He didn't say we're heading down the perfect path, and he didn't say anything here is perfect. He said we're heading down the right path. And perhaps what he meant was we have a new police chief who's been selected following a national search, and the mayor has and this young woman have made a big commitment to what they're going to bring here in terms of 21st century policing. We have reaffirmed our commitment to eliminating the 48-hour rule and maintaining our prerogative as an employer to enforce our rules in a timely manner. And today we're adopting a new approach to oversight that, while it has its critics in this room, I think, as Dan said, the old approach did not work very well, and we need to try something different. And time will tell whether this approach is a better approach, but I think the mayor is entitled to the benefit of the doubt. I'm very proud to work with my colleagues in this manner in a public setting to move important public policy, and on this I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler?
I can't even begin to follow that. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I appreciate it. Tracy, thank you. Nicole, thank you. Barbara, I know you're here somewhere. There you are. Thank you. Michael, who has to explain everything. Thank you. Sometimes you have to explain the inexplicable, and you're pretty good at that, too. I definitely want to thank my colleagues. Again, it's been interesting. It's been fun. This finishes the easy part. Now the hard work begins. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you. For those of you who've been waiting